Hello and welcome to Roster Doctor, where we fix up your roster. On this week's episode, I'm joined by Sooner Five, who is one of the top finalists in the Season 2 League. Welcome. How's it going?
Well, it's going pretty good. How are you, Mark?
Good. Just trying to deal with the multiple apocalypses that are falling upon me. But
yeah, 2020 is not treating us well.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next month. Maybe the murder hornets will finally get here. Have you seen those things?
Oh, they're giant. They're a hummingbird.
Oh, bigger. They're like this. They're like the size of a fist. And
they're like a robin, fly around and kill stuff.
Jesus. Oof. Speaking of terrifying things, I brought you on to talk about your season two list. That is the cleanest transition I've ever done. Which was this very interesting Asgard-Wakanda combination. And so the meta's obviously changed a lot since then and now. But I guess, what did you see in this list originally when you were first putting it together for the Tabletop Simulator League? And did you play this all the way through, or just for the top 16 and top 4 cuts?
I played it from week 3 of the initial league. So, you know, we played the first 6 games, and if you were in the top 16, you qualified for the tournament. At week 3, I think, is when I went to this list. It was Asgard Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I switched it back to Wakanda once things got a little more serious. And then I stuck with that all the way through.
Yeah, so why don't we just go through the roster real quick? So for your characters, you had Black Panther, Thor, Prince of Asgard, Killmonger, Okoye, Shuri, MODOK, Valkyrie, Hawkeye, Hela, and Vision. So I guess one of the more notable exclusions was no Loki. Was there any particular reason you didn't fit Loki into here over Vision or MODOK or Hawkeye, presumably?
Sure. No. So Hawkeye was a change last minute when we got to the tournament. He used to be Rocket. Mm-hmm. That was the only change I had. And honestly, the only reason I didn't have Loki in there is because I just had never played Loki, and I felt like he had a basically kind of a little bit of a learning curve. And
yeah.
So I didn't want to just try to learn that in the middle of the season. And I had not played Asgard much at all going into season 2. I think I had 2 Asgard games going into season 2. So I did just kind of left him out to... because I wasn't super familiar with him. The other reason was, the whole reason I did the list I did was because I wanted to make and kind of test a really tanky Asgard list.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like MODOK was a staple of that list. And so I was only going to be running 3 Asgardians. And I felt like Hela was a little more tanky than Loki. So that's why I included her.
Yeah, I can see the value in that. And so I also noticed that you're not quite playing the standard quote-unquote Wakanda wave. You're kind of bringing the full Wakanda package. Did you ever out-and-out play Wakanda during the top or the last 3 weeks plus the top 4 cut?
I did. I played it once or twice. I can't remember. I know for sure I played it once, and it was on Gamma Waves. And I like that the 15-point list I have. It's not the normal Xavier Protocol 15-point Wakanda wave, but I still think it's really powerful.
Yeah, it looks like you can do a more fighty version, whereas his is all pushes and throws and we're full on scenario.
Exactly right. Yeah, so mine is like half fight, half push.
I can dig it. Let's switch over into the tactics real quick. So we've got Bracer Impact, Patch Up, Med Pack, Field Dressing, Drop Off, Odin's Blessing, Wakanda Forever, and Usurp the Throne. And so, since you're primarily playing Asgard, you said, it looks like you're pretty much for all those Asgardian games, you're going to be taking Odin's Blessing and then looking to cut one of the first five for whatever is least useful in the matchup. Since you always have Thor, you're probably always taking drop off. So I guess it's patch up or med pack that typically gets cut to fit the Asgard roster.
I actually, believe it or not, cut drop off. I wanted to test how a list would do that had the best defense, the best tankiness. So I took all defensive cards and I said, look, I got good damage dealers. Come at me and see if you can kill my models.
Yeah, that's very interesting, especially because, so I tried to do some limited challenge archaeology in preparation for this. And I believe virtually every round you played against Cabal, which means you're doing full-on brawling. Once you made the top 16 cut, the top 16, the top four, I think everyone was Cabal, and then there was like one Cabal Avengers, and I couldn't figure out which one they played into you. Or Asgard.
It was definitely Cabal heavy at the top. No doubt.
Yeah, everyone loves MODOK.
Exactly.
And then finally, let's just hop over into the crises. So for your extracts, you had Mystic Wakandan Herbs, Factor Fiction. Fear Grips World as Worthy Terrorized Cities. Panic Grips City as Evacuation Efforts Continue. Gamma Wave Sweeps Across Midwest for Secures. Infinity Formula Goes Missing. And Riot Spark over Extremis 3.0. So the first thing that pops out at me is you're not forcing D Secures, which I feel like a lot of teams... My memory of the tail end of the league is a little bit hazy. Was the Black Order crisis allowed by then?
No.
Were you able to reliably force Ds? Yeah.
No. Extremis was the only D secure, so that was the only one I could have in my list.
Yeah. And
which was unfortunate because in the semifinal game, that's very, very much what I wanted to play, and I won priority, and I discarded Extremis.
Yeah, so when you won priority, you would typically pick Secures, it sounds like?
In that scenario, where I really, really wanted to play a D-Secure against MODOK Cabal, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I think it depends on who I'm playing, but yeah, against Cabal, MODOK, absolutely, I want a D.
Okay, I can dig that. From here, why don't we just kick on over to the base 15 threat teams? So I've got the 15 threat teams up here. What would you typically play at 15 threat? Obviously, so this is either Gamma Wave in something or Wakandan Herbs in something. Were you typically playing something like Thor, Hela, Shuri, Valkyrie? Or were you playing kind of more of a Wakanda get up like Black Panther, Thor, Killmonger, Okoye at 15?
So if it was 15 from Gamma Waves, then I was going Wakanda. I played my 15 threat team was Black Panther, Shuri, Killmonger, and Vision. I really like Vision on Gamma Waves. Obviously, he's got a 2-cost throw, which is extremely good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a beam. Who doesn't love a beam attack when everybody is clumped up in the middle of the table?
Yeah, I can dig that. And if you're playing herbs and something else, I mean, obviously, then it's, I'm assuming, up to what kind of secure it is. But how often would you find yourself sliding over into Asgard?
If they were playing a 15-point herbs game, I would play Asgard. I think that's actually a counter to Wakanda is herbs. So I would play Asgard. My Asgard team would be Thor, Hela, Valkyrie, Shuri, kind of like you said.
Yeah. Any consideration for Thor, Hela, Valk, Hawkeye?
If we were playing a D scenario, I would play Hawkeye. The reason Hawkeye was put in my list was for a D scenario or if I knew I was playing Vision.
Okay, from here we'll kick on up to 16 threats. So I don't think you really had to consider this for the tournament, because if Black Order didn't come out, I don't think there was any 16 threat scenario for the majority of the league.
No, the whole league. There was no 16 threat the whole league, so I didn't have to worry about it. I would likely play Wakanda, though, on it. Black Panther, Okoye, Killmonger, Val, and Hawkeye, because it would be the D scenario. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, something where you can put Shuri on the home and still be relevant, and then you kind of have two flank pieces.
I actually wouldn't take Shuri. I would take Hawkeye. And then, you know, Black Panther and Valkyrie would go up one flank, and Okoye and Killmonger go up one flank. It's a pretty strong team.
Is there any particular extract where a combination where you would have slipped over into something like Thor, Hela, Valk, Vision?
I don't think so, because, I mean, I think Herbs would be the only one that would force me into that, but that Wakanda team is actually, you know, they're not your typical Wakanda team that just wants to score real quick and can't take a beating and give a beating. So I think I would stick with that Wakanda team.
Fair enough. I like it.
I mean, Black Panther, Killmonger, and Valkyrie, I mean, they can kill stuff with just as good as anybody, you know?
So I've noticed so far that at both 15 and 16, you're not looking to slide in MODOK. There's not a ton of affiliated options where you actually can slide in MODOK. I believe at 15, it's literally just Black Panther, Killmonger, Okoye, MODOK. And then at 16, it's the same thing, but with Shuri instead of Okoye. When would you try and slide MODOK in? Or is 17. That purely for higher? Yep. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Why don't we kick on over to 17 threat then? So you've got a few more MODOK options here. Are you playing Wakanda MODOK, or are you playing Asgard MODOK? I believe no, Asgard so MODOK.
My main goal was to test Asgard at the 17 threat, was my favorite point level. Mm-hmm. And it's the three Asgardians and MODOK. And it was strong. I never lost a game with it.
Yeah, it seems pretty solid. Everyone's reasonably tanky until MODOK flips, and then he's just a sheet of paper. But you've got a lot of tools to prevent that from happening. You've got a good mix of range and melee. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was almost like the trap that people would fall into, is they would attack MODOK. And in this list, it's like almost one of the worst things you can do, because I have so many ways to heal him, it's almost impossible to actually kill him.
Yep. He's very hard to take down once you have the proper support around him. And once you're taking four or five durability cards, especially with Odin's Blessing, he's never going down.
Well, he can't use Odin's Blessing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
I'm healing one every turn for Asgardian leadership. Med pack obviously takes off three. And then the beauty of playing a bunch of Asgardians with them is I always had the power to patch him up for four or five.
Yep.
So it was just brutal. Guys would get him down to like seven or eight, and literally the next turn he'd have one damage on him, and that was it. And it was just so deflating for people.
Yeah, and you can't even go for like a condition strategy on him. Because like one of the very talked about things is you play Thor into him and you stagger him with a four Asgard. You do that, then he just shakes it with the Asgard ability, and then he one-shots Thor.
Yeah, and there was like 85% of people had Thor in their list. So, I mean, it was like, okay, bring it on. Because personally, I don't think Thor is very good into MODOK. But it was a very good Thor answer.
I've found a decent amount of success with Thor into MODOK, but it requires Loki, in my experience. Because rivalry Loki into MODOK. He either braces, or he takes three automatic damage and gets staggered no matter what you do. And making all of his really nasty stuff more expensive is really problematic for him. I found if you use those two to gang up on him, you can dispatch him relatively quickly, especially sure. if you're able to force priority on the next round. But yeah,
you know, but then you start talking about, yeah, because then you start talking about, well, is that more Loki being good into him, or is that more Thor being good into him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think like both of them have pieces that are really good into MODOK, but neither of them do enough to solve it by themselves. You have to take both of them together, is at yeah, least I my just, experience.
I've been burned too many times on a 4 Asgard into MODOK and not doing any damage, and it just, I mean, it's just, it's brutal when you do that.
Yeah, I ran the math for it, and the odds of doing at least one damage, assuming he has like enough to reroll all of his dice, is like just over 60%, which is surprisingly low, I feel like.
Yeah, not, it's like a coin flip almost.
Yeah. And if you screw that up, it's just over.
Exactly. I mean, MODOK's just going to immediately daze Thor.
Yep.
And then probably keep priority in KO Thor next round.
Yeah, if you take a swing at MODOK like that, you have to not miss. How often did you find yourself sliding into Wakanda at 17, by the way?
Zero. Okay. There was not a game that I did not a secure that I did not feel confident with that Asgard team.
Mm-hmm.
So there was not a time that if it was 17 threat, not that, I mean, my 17 threat Wakanda team is the team that I won season one with. So it's an exceptional team. But I was playing Asgard. That team felt very strong. So I don't think there's a secure or an extract that they're really weak on. So really, I mean, at that point, I was going to drop them if it was that point level, no matter.
If there was a super obnoxious wide getup like Spider People yeah. and Infinity Formula or something, would you try and go for a 5-man variation?
Absolutely. I think if we are talking this season, which we probably should, since we shouldn't talk in the past, but
yeah,
absolutely, I would consider the 17-point Wakanda much more. I think against Web Warriors and or stuff like that, you certainly might want that Wakanda team over the Asgard team.
Yeah, so I don't know how much you've dojoed in prep for Season 3, which by the time this goes out should be almost starting with the first week. What's it called? How have you found Web Warriors? Because I've found a lot of mixed responses, like they're BS, they're terrible, they're obnoxious, they're not that bad. Like where do you fall on the Web Warriors?
It's funny because, I mean, you see you see all the way up to like they're the best affiliation to people like saying, yeah, they're not that great. And then they're the most popular by far pick for season 3. I have only played against them 3 times. And, you know, I haven't had a huge problem against them. I think one of their problems is if they don't hit their dice, they're pretty squishy.
Yep. They're very squishy if their rerolls don't work out or you take Venom. Venom's a hard counter into them, which I find hilarious considering he's part of the affiliation. But yeah, I think they're, because they're an insanely high amount of the league. They're like 40% or something, right?
Yeah, it's wild. And Venom is like, he's like the new Thor.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I think season 3, everyone should be taking Venom just because of how popular Web Warriors is. I feel like he's like, you play him and you just win a flank against Web Warriors. And so he's like the go-to 4-cost slot in. But we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out because it feels like, at least from the league numbers, not to go too far off topic, but it seems like over 2/3 of the league is either, it's some combination of you're playing MODOK BS, you're playing Corvus Proxima BS, or you're playing Web Warriors scenario game and you're not like actively trying to fight. So it'll be interesting to see how like the scenario pick up an extract and run away style works against the I'm here to brawl and I'm going to kill everything I can get my hands on style that is like the other large chunk of the league. We're going to get some very interesting numbers out of the first few weeks, I think.
Yeah, we are. I think it's going to be funny to see how many times a Web Warrior mirror match ends up on a D scenario with two Venoms across the board from each other, only people left just staring at each other.
Those are going to be nasty, especially because, like, assuming that they're, like, forcing Skrulls or Alien Corps, one side randomly manages to get the objective and then just starts running away. God, that's going to be fun to watch. But getting back into things, let's kick on over to 18 threat. So here, it's pretty much dominated by Wakandan options. There's only four Asgard-affiliated teams you can possibly take. On 18, you're either playing Hammers or you're playing the new Spider Portals scenario, I believe. So you're playing a D scenario no matter what, whether it's a D extract or a D secure. How do you approach that with figuring out a team for that?
With the roster that I constructed, I do like Wakanda in this. I think the 18 threat was the one spot where it was just like, I don't really like this Asgard team. Mm-hmm. And I really like the Wakanda team better. Like you said, you're not playing herbs if you're playing Hammers. So Wakanda, I think Wakanda personally, I think they like Hammers. Or at least they don't mind Hammers. So I think this is a time that you might slide in Wakanda.
So would this be full Wakanda plus MODOK, full Wakanda plus Thor, or some other combination?
I think it would be one of the two. Just pick your spice, whether you want to put in MODOK or whether you want to put in Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that's the strongest team.
And considering you're probably playing Hammers because you've got Hammers in your team, so that's the one you're going to most commonly see. How do you figure out your tactics at 18 under Hammers? Because now you're paying the Hammer tax. Do you leave Usurp the throne at home, or do you take it anyways and just say, screw it, either Killmonger doesn't get a Hammer, or I'll wait until I can pay for it?
I think this is one time you actually will think about leaving Usurp home. Mm-hmm. You know, especially say you're taking Thor. Certainly, I could slide in drop off instead of Usurp in that spot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is one spot that you may actually leave Usurp out.
How often did you find yourself playing Usurp and paying off with it? Because at least I felt with how the game's been going recently, Killmonger's stock has been dropping more and more for me just because I find it harder and harder for him to get the power to get going. And then once he does, two VPs is nice, but it's not often winning you a game. Mm-hmm.
I personally really like Killmonger in Wakanda. I think you can create kind of this bubble. With him having charge, this bubble of, hey, if you come in here, Killmonger is going to kill you. I ran Usurp with a really high success rate, but I think that was largely because Thor was so popular. And I think Killmonger is a very good answer to Thor. You can kind of control where Thor can or wants to go. And you just put Okoye next to Killmonger, so she just bodyguards the four Asgard if they decide to come in with Thor first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real good answer to Thor. And since Thor was usually the most popular high threat value that was on the board, I used it with really high success rate. Nowadays, you know, with MODOK and so prevalent, and Corvus is not the easiest to kill with the reality, and Thanos, you want no part of that Thanos. So
yeah.
I think it has probably lost some of its luster in the new meta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess you mentioned MODOK, you played MODOK matches for all of your last six games, and I'm assuming the majority of the second half of the league as well. When you saw your opponent was playing Cabal, did you ever intentionally play Usurp the Throne and try and dive on MODOK?
Oh, every time. I actually really like Usurp against MODOK because even if I don't kill him and get to two VPs, I basically have, I'm going to arrange it where I have three attacks with two extra dice.
Yeah.
Which is against MODOK, you know, when you're rolling 11 dice, 9 dice, you know, physical, I mean, it is really good. So whether I kill him or not, I'm going to do a lion's share to him. He's not going to have much left.
Yeah, even through wild blanking, that's going to do a lot of work.
So I actually really liked it against MODOK. I mean, I almost looked at it as a, because I always, every time I usurped, I played Wakanda Forever. So, I mean, I looked at it as almost like a damage dealing card that if I get to two VPs, awesome. If not, it's just going to help me kill MODOK.
I can dig it.
And I still think that's viable. I mean, not many people are playing Killmonger, but I mean, I still think it's viable. You just got to be very careful with your placement on Killmonger before, you know, MODOK goes, because you don't want to get him double tapped. But I mean, like I said, Okoye is his best friend.
Yeah, so I guess building on that, what's it called? How do you feel about all you've got with Killmonger? Is that too many eggs in one basket? Because he can get up to a really nasty 5-attack chain with his successive attacks ability, and then you're very reliably able to usurp the throne on somebody. Because you can even walk into an all you've got usurp if you've got the power.
I mean, I think it's overkill. I think, how many times are you really going to need that much dice? Either you're rolling absolutely horrible, or you're trying to kill two or three things.
In fairness, you don't have to pay for all you've got until your activation ends. So you can start with usurp, start hitting them, and if you fall short at the end of his activation, play all you've got, because you probably built up some power from his strikes. Chain that into another turn, and then worst case, charge into a secondary target after your third attack or fourth attack.
Yeah, no, I like it. I mean, if I was playing this list in this season, there's no doubt I'd have all you got in there. I would drop either patch up or drop off for it. I mean, I value it just as high. I mean, I just said I would drop off just to get it in there. I mean, I value it that high.
Yeah, that's high praise for the card. out of curiosity, what are you playing for the league again?
I am playing a Guardians of the Galaxy, one of the 7 or 8% of people who are playing, and I do not have a 4-threat character on my roster.
Oh, that's fascinating. So you're not playing Ronin. Like, I can get skipping Gamora, but no Ronin. Ooh. If you end up doing hot, we might have to bring you back as the first repeat guest, because I really want to get a Guardians player onto here.
I've been testing it a lot. I've practiced it more than I've practiced any list going into a league. So we'll see. I think I'm going to play it pretty well, so we'll see how it does.
Okay. Let's kick on over to 19 threat real quick. So this, you have to be playing Panic Grip City as evacuation efforts continue. That one always, I can never remember it. I just think evac or civilians, and I can't remember the actual name off the top of my head.
I just call it civilians every time. Or citizens. So, I call it citizens. That's what it is.
Either of those two, but you never call it like by its full proper name or panic, especially because doesn't Hammers the name also start with panic? Oh no, it's fear for that one. It gives me conniption fits every time.
I couldn't even tell you their full names. All I'd call them is worthy or Hammers or citizens.
Yeah. So what do you end up playing on 19? I mean, obviously it's dependent on the secure, but you're 100% seeing, what's it called?
I'm 100% playing Asgard. Wakanda doesn't want any part of citizens. They want to use their power for rerolls and stuff like that. So they are not a good power generating team. Asgard is, and I really, really like my Asgard list on 19 points.
So what's the 7 points you add on? Because Asgard Okoye, as a base is 12 here.
Yeah, I just take my 17 threat list and pop in Okoye.
I can dig it. Yeah.
So MODOK, the three Asgardians, MODOK and Okoye.
So again, going back to, is there any secure that would actually put you off of Asgard here? Or would you just force Asgard?
No, I'd force Asgard. I don't think there's anything that team can't play into.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think there's, even thinking of like I would play that into Web Warriors in a heartbeat. I would play that into Black Order or any of the new stuff. I mean, I think it's a really solid team. One thing I noticed playing a lot of Asgard is, you know, when I played Wakanda in the first season, there were a lot of blowouts because, you know, you can get up early with Wakanda, and if dice go well, they score so quick, you can get some blowouts. Asgard's almost always a close game. You know, usually Asgard comes out on top, but they don't really blow people out as well as some of these other lists do.
Yeah, I think most of your games were like 16-10 or like single digits yep. point difference. You were comfortably ahead, but it wasn't like a total like 16-0. Like I've seen some of those really nasty ones where like you're playing Cabal, MODOK dazes two people on bottom of one, and it's just over. Nobody ever scores and comes back from that.
Yeah, you didn't see near as much of that. Even with Thor and MODOK in the same list, you didn't see that quite as often.
Yeah. So there is one standout list or team to me at 19 threat. I'm just trying to think, is there any combination? So there's a six character possibility where you can play all Wakandans with Valk and Hawkeye. How do you value going wide? It seems like you're very comfortable with like your fighting Asgard brick, but since you're playing Guardians in this upcoming season and you're probably playing wide a lot, when do you find yourself playing more of a wide strategy?
I think that's a very good team that you just said. I'd play them wide in heartbeat. That's a really good team. So I was comfortable with the Asgard going wide because I was comfortable with all the cards, the tactics cards I had. And at the time, Extremis was the wide scenario. MODOK taking one flank, Thor and Hela taking another flank. And, you know, Thor with Odin's Blessing, we all know how hard he can be to kill. And then MODOK with the two healing cards and the Extremis console and the leadership. Because, you know, whenever you're out on the flank, you only are usually fighting one or two people. And very rarely is MODOK going to lose to one or two people when he has that much backup of healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was comfortable with it. I thought Asgard was very good in the scenario. Because that's what I wanted to force in the semifinals, but unfortunately I discarded it.
Yeah, so I think I caught some of your game, but correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you play like super early in the AM Pacific? And by super early in the morning, I mean before noon.
possibly. No, to be honest, I can't even remember what time to play. No, I think we played at 7 at night, I think. I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of some other game. I know a bunch of the games were played because there were a bunch of EU players. They were played like right when I was getting up in the morning, so I would either be like too hungover or I would like just barely catch like them cleaning up and talking about it in post.
Yeah, because West Coast is kind of a... Yeah, you're kind of in that time loop, especially with a lot of East Coast people where, you know, they may play by like 11, 12 o'clock, but that's still early for you.
Yeah, I think I'm in the second worst time zone for the Discord outside of Australia. Like Australia's got it the worst. like there's no competition there because they're like 8 hours away from like the two biggest time zones, whereas I'm kind of close to the rest of the US, and then Europe's just obnoxious. But it's still doable on weekends. Sure. But yeah. Shout out to any Australian players playing in the Discord League. I think there's like 10 of them or so out of the...
Oh, I think they're up to like 12 or 13 this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I was talking to Morgan earlier today, and I think they're up to like 12 or 13. We're trying to get a game in, but it's hard when you're like 13 hours apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's kick over to 20 threat real quick. So you're always playing Alien Ship Crashes in downtown if you're seeing this, which means you want to get up to the midline and you want to be able to contest this, but you also want to have representation on both flanks so you can deal with whoever ends up picking up the core. What do you play at 20? Because your Asgard base from 17, you can fit in a three-pointer. Is that what you end up doing?
So, I mean, when I think of alien ships, I think of a long, drawn-out game. And that's exactly what Asgard thrives on. Mm-hmm. So I would play Asgard. You know, yeah, someone can get lucky and pull the alien ship first turn. But even if they do, all I got to do is send Thor and MODOK after them, and they'll be dead pretty quickly. So I like it. And if I can somehow get that alien ship on someone like MODOK, I mean, it's... super
yeah, you're never losing it at that point. Yeah. Though I envision a lot of like double moving Thor, double moving Valk to throw the core holder backwards at MODOK, especially with spiders. Because if like spiders pick it up, Miles will just immediately web swing backwards, and then he's almost on their deployment line again with a range three back.
And it's interesting because if you look at my top eight game, we played Gamma and we played Heatro's alien ship, and I played the Asgard list, and he turned one or round one, moved Proxima on to one of the flanks and got the alien ship. And so this is round one and we were playing Gamma. And so all my guys are in the middle. And, you know, Morgan asked me after the game, he said, because I didn't go for, I let him just be out there. I didn't go for him. And the commentators thought that was pretty interesting. And they asked me why. And I said, because if he's going to play one character down and run away, I'm going to score 6 points a turn on gamma waves. Because he's not going to have the characters to even remotely deal with me. So it was almost like I made him come to me because there's no way he could play with, you know, down 3 points and be successful in gamma waves.
Even in the worst case scenario, what's it called? You're going to have advantage on the middle. And if you hold your home in middle and they hold their home and the ship core, you've got scoring parity. And if you think you're better at fighting than them, you're entirely happy doing that. I know I don't play alien ship that often just because a lot of people don't seem to like it. But on hammers, I'll let people go for the flank hammers. I won't contest them on it if I'm playing gamma. I'm just like, I'll take my home hammer. Maybe I'll take a side one, but only one of them. I won't fight you for both of them. And I'm just going to win on the middle.
Yep. Yeah, I like it. Because, I mean, only being worth 2 points, I mean, don't get me wrong, scoring 2 points every turn is fantastic with it, but it's not game-breaking, you know? It's not like Wakanda Herbs where you're scoring 4 points a turn, and that's just going to be back-breaking.
Yeah, agreed. One moment. Okay. For the next segment, we're going to be talking about specific scenario combinations. So this is going to be a little bit of recap, but kind of just delving into them a little bit more specifically. So the first crisis combination is going to be Struggle for the Cube continues and Gamma Waves sweeps across Midwest. So you're playing Cube Fragments and you're playing Gamma, which means there's a lot of incidental damage on the table, either for not being near the middle column or from holding Cube Fragments. And this could be at 17 or 15. At 15... are you just playing your standard Asgard on this just fine, or are you trying to fit in the MODOK package because you are on Gamma?
So this is the problem, and this is what happened to me in the semifinals. So I can't play Modok in Asgard at 15. Yeah. So I kind of got tripped up. I made the wrong decision. I chose Gamma because I had discarded Extremis, and not thinking that my opponent was going to choose the 15 point herbs like he did, mm-hmm. and we were stuck in 15. I wanted to play 17 Asgard and bring my Modok, and it really put me on the back foot.
Do you ever consider playing unaffiliated then? If such a thing happens,
we talked about that after the game, and I told Swoosh, who I played, I told him, like, honestly, I almost regret not just going unaffiliated so I could take both Thor and Modok, because Modok is that powerful in that. And, you know, he had his Cabal Modok, and I just felt from the start, I just felt completely overmatched.
Yeah. And then at 17, you're definitely playing, well, actually, sorry, going back to the 15, would you ever see yourself playing Wakanda with Modok specifically on this, as opposed to your typical Asgard shell?
Yeah. I mean, what, you'd play Shuri, Okoye, Black Panther, Modok. Yeah. I would certainly do that.
That would be one point down. You could play Killmonger instead of Shuri. But maybe this, that's the tricky thing. Because, like, Shuri almost should be a four, in my opinion. She's probably the best three in the game. She's definitely in the top three best threes in the game.
Yeah, I would put her in the top three. I certainly wouldn't rate her best, not when Valkyrie's in the picture, but certainly top three.
Yep.
But I think you have to play. If you're playing Gamma, I mean, as much as I love Killmonger, I don't think... I would rather have Shuri over Killmonger on Gamma.
Yeah, just because of the free pushes. Yeah, I think this actually might be a scenario where you either play unaffiliated or you play point down. Or you could even do something weird where you play... So since you're playing unaffiliated, you can play like Thor, Modok, Shuri, Vision. And just get real weird with it.
Yeah.
Or no, that's 17, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, no, you would have to play Thor, Modok, Shuri, Okoye. Which, depending on the matchup, is pretty solid, because you've got the bodyguard for Modok. You've got a nice little support castle, and Thor goes forwards.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, because those really didn't even come up when I was thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
Normally, I would just play my Wakanda 15-point team, but I knew Sploosh had a lot of practice against them, and he knew how to play them, so I didn't want to play them. Mm-hmm. And then when we got stuck in that 15-point game, I mean, I don't think that Asgard list is horrible. It's Thor, Hela, Valkyrie, and Shuri. I mean, I don't think it's horrible or anything, but it felt really one-sided when I was playing that game.
Yeah,
and some of the decisions I made helped that out. I didn't make some good decisions, but I just, from the start, I felt almost defeated.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what Sploosh's getup was, but at least in my experience, Cabal is probably the best 15-point team outside of, like, full-on Wakanda wave, and I think they're very close in that regard. Just because, like, being able to play, like, Skull, Modok, Shuri, Zemo is insanely powerful on a Gamma Wave.
It is. No, I agree. 100%. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, I would try to do the 17-point Asgard if we were playing Cubes and Gamma, because my Asgard list absolutely loves Cubes. Loves it.
Yeah, because you've got so much durability and regeneration. The power isn't super important, but, you'll take it.
No, but Thor loves power. Valkyrie loves power. You know, it's more dragon fangs. That's more, yeah. You know, so.
I can dig it. The next one is going to be Hammers plus Extremis. So this is going to be a double D scenario. So you're trying to play to, like, some token force on the home objective and then two flank pieces. And for 17, are you still playing your Asgard team? Or since this is a bit more of a wide scenario, do you consider breaking up Modok into, like, two pieces just so that you can split your forces a bit better?
So I think that I'm going to do this in two parts, because I think if it's Hammers and Extremis, I think I like that 17 Asgard. If this was like Hammers and Spider Portals, I think I would try Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that specific Asgard list likes Extremis, but you start throwing portals or even the Cosmic Vault, where they can get pushed off and things like that. I don't think that Asgard list likes that near as much. I think that Asgard list likes to plan itself right on those scenarios and say, okay, come kill me if you can. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if you got stuff that's pushing you off and things like that, I think that could be problematic.
Yeah, I can see that. At the 18th threat, if you get put onto it, what do you end up playing?
I play Wakanda.
You play Wakanda, you go wide.
I play Wakanda. Kind of like we talked earlier, you can drop Thor or MODOK into that list.
Yep.
That's a pretty good. In fact, I think that's extremely strong on Hammers and Extremis, because I think Black Panther's phenomenal on a D secure. So that's a really strong list.
So assuming you have priority, which threat do you pick here? Because you've raved about your 17 threat Asgard team, but you also said that you very much like your Wakandan team at 18. Which one would you prefer, given the choice?
I would pick 17 and play that Asgard list. I like it a lot. Now, I will say, if I looked across the board and my opponent, I kind of quickly glanced at their list and I'm like, I don't think they really have a very good 17 or a very good 18 point list, then I might pick that.
Yeah.
But just going off my list, I would take the 17. That's and I think enough. It's funny, because I think that a 4-person list is actually weak in these D scenarios. And like I said, the newer ones are a little different. I probably would go with the newer ones. I'd choose the Wakanda 18 point team. But I think for some reason, and I think it's because it's just, they're so durable, I think this Asgard team works real well on these D secures.
Yeah. I've had some success playing 4-man 17 on Ds, even this exact scenario combination, with something like Skull, Thor, Loki, Ultron, where you put Ultron on the side that's it has like the least amount of effort put into it, and he just sits there and he never dies, and he's got Age of Ultron, so mm-hmm. he's going to make it through the entire game, and he's going to at least contest, maybe take it depending on how little they allocate to that side, and then you just brawl with Thor, Loki on the other side, and it works out fine. It's a little bit trickier with your Asgard setup, just because you've kind of got Hela as arranged, you've got MODOK as arranged, and then Thor, Valk as your kind of melee pieces, so there's like kind of some awkwardness to placement, but I think it's still doable.
Yeah, so what and I talked about this on Omnis's podcast, but Valkyrie actually loves sitting on the back objective, especially with this exact team,
mm-hmm.
because what I would do is I would take whoever's contesting on MODOK's flank or on Thor's flank, and I would just either move them with MODOK towards Valkyrie or throw them towards Valkyrie. Valkyrie
yep,
would charge.
And then charge, yep.
Do an attack, do a throw, move right back to the home secure. And it's just, it's brutal getting that much work out of Valkyrie. I mean, so she's actually, so the team actually, that's what I'm saying. This team actually, and it's funny because how I found that out was a mistake. Because like everybody else, I was like, oh shoot, Valkyrie, you know, she goes and kills stuff. Well, I played a game and I moved all my other models and Valkyrie was the only one left. And I was like, well, shoot, she's got to sit on this back secure. I can't just give this up. And I just kind of figured it out from there.
If she's juiced, she'll take out any target in the game. I mean, under Doom Prophecy, she used to be the hardest hitting piece in the game, I think, until Reality Corvus came out.
She's pretty brutal. For
and at three cost, points. It's insane. Like, she's... Mm-hmm. She's just short of killing Hulk on average if she's got the power in Doom Prophecy. Which, like, for a 3-cost character is insane. Yeah, wow. As long as you can get her there, she'll wreck shit.
Yeah. So I like this specific Asgard team, and I want, you know, the viewers to know this is more of a specific team choice. I personally, I don't think a four character team is super strong on a D secure. And you know, that list you were talking about, it's the same concept, right? It's, you have two sides that are going to be extremely hard to kill. Like you said, Ultron, you can't kill him. And on the other side, you have Thor and Loki, which are going to win most matchups on the flank.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of the same concept.
Yeah. So I guess in this case, Hela would be your weak side, or would you take her with Thor just so she can park the objective while he goes forwards if people aren't actually on it?
So what I would do, take MODOK up one side, Val takes the back, Hela and Thor go up one side. Hela and Thor generally are going to win that flank. And once they do, Thor starts heading towards that back objective.
I can dig it. Yeah, that seems like pretty solid. And like, worst case scenario, if you have to audible, I feel like Hela's a perfectly fine weak side character. Because with her soul collection, if you do it correctly, she has a miniature Age of Ultron built in, so she can kind of play a bit of a long game as long as your opponent lets you collect the souls.
Absolutely.
Let's kick on to the final crisis combination. So this is going to be evacuation plus Black Order descend. So you're playing 19 points, you're playing or 16. And Panic is a B and Black Order is a D. So you've kind of got this almost like octagon going around the center of the board. How would you plan for this one? Let's talk 16 first. So this is a somewhat wide scenario because you can't pick up the extracts while holding the secures, and there's four extracts, four secures. So you've got to cover a lot of ground. Do you play your standard 16 team, or do you try and explicitly pick something wider?
I think that this one comes down to the point value. I think if it's going to be the 16 point value, I would absolutely play Wakanda, and I would take more characters, and I would take Hawkeye, put them on that back objective, and I would just go to work with Wakanda trying to score points.
So I know something full Wakanda plus Hawkeye?
I would drop Shuri. So I would take Black Panther, Okoye. Yeah, I would take Black Panther, Okoye, Killmonger, Valkyrie, and Hawkeye.
So very fighty. You don't care about the pushes. You don't care about the rerolls. You just want to brawl and cover a lot of ground.
So more than brawl, I want to win my flanks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that Okoye, Killmonger up one flank is a very good team to try to win a flank. And I think Black Panther and Valkyrie is an extremely strong team up one flank.
And Hawkeye
sits and holds his own, and he'll just hook arrow to whichever side needs an extra shot.
Yeah, I really like Hawkeye here because he can pick up the civilian and then move back onto the home D. And since he's going to be playing back, in my experience, Hawkeye is one of the characters in the game who cap out on power like trivially. Unless they get like KO'd first, they're just going to build up so much power because like he's only got a builder attack. He doesn't have a spender. He's going to spend two for mobility each round so that he can shoot, but he's typically getting that back from his shots. And then presumably eventually the secure is going to give him some power, and then at that point he can just cash in the civilian. So I really like him here.
Absolutely. Now, every time I play Hawkeye, I look down like round three at his card and I have 8 power. It's like he's a power machine, man.
Yeah. So for the 19 threat version, do you play the same thing plus Shuri, or do you look to upgrade some of your pieces for some of your more expensive guys?
No, I think I would upgrade. That's when I would actually play the Asgard. And I like that because that just adds Okoye on MODOK's flank.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me even more likely to win that flank with her bodyguarding for MODOK.
Yeah, I can see that. That's got to be pretty nasty. And you can get the civilian onto MODOK pretty easily and then he caps out on power. Well, actually, I haven't played as much with MODOK outside of Cabal. Is he as power flush in Asgard typically? Or since you're replacing a power generating ability with something that you're typically spending to heal him with as the affiliation ability, is he as flush with power all the time?
No, he's certainly not. I mean, he's an absolute monster in Cabal, and that power generation is just ridiculous. In Asgard, he certainly doesn't have that much power. Now, that being said, we all know his power generation is fantastic. So yeah, he usually will have 6 power to do an evacuation if you need. But he certainly doesn't generate power like he does in Cabal.
Yeah, so you put it on him, but you don't immediately cash out.
Exactly.
Unless it's going to win you the game.
You need it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then I guess the final question, are you playing 19 or 16 here? What's your preference?
Again, a good question. I think it, again, depends on my opponent's team. You know, some people, if they're playing Black Order, I'm playing 16.
Yep, if, deny them the threat.
If they're playing, even Cabal, I think Cabal is probably, I mean, Cabal likes, you're a Cabal player. Don't you really like 19?
I'm fine with 19. I just slap in another 4 threat character to my 15 threat team, and I feel pretty happy.
So it depends on the team. But I'd probably lean towards 19 if it was, if it wasn't really just their team was much better at 19.
Yep. Let's kick over into the final segment, which is potential changes. So you originally made this list in the context of Season 2, which I think the first release after the list lock was Thanos. So since then, we've seen Thanos and his contents. We've seen the Green Goblin box, the Web Warriors box. Were Agent Widow and Hawkeye before or after lock?
We could do them for the tournament because Hawkeye was in my list.
Okay, so unless I'm crazy, it's just those 3 releases.
Goblin, yeah, you said Goblin, right?
Yeah, Goblin, the Web Warriors box, and Thanos, I think are the only 3.
That's been it, yep.
But so in the light of that, and I guess the evolution of the meta and what you learned across the tournament, what if you had to choose, would you swap out any character?
The only person I think I would maybe try to get in here is Loki, just because I think he's really good on Gamma. And, you know, the fact that I lost in Gamma, I think he would have at least helped a little bit.
Loki would open up lines of play like Thor, Loki, Valkyrie, Shuri at 15, which I think is a pretty nasty team. I think when you're trying to fit him in, I think Killmonger is probably the cut. As cool as he is, you prefer to play Asgard, it sounds like. And Loki increasingly opens up good options for Asgard while taking away Killmonger. I feel like he's often one of the first pieces you're cutting in a lot of your strategies if you're playing Wakanda. Like, if you have to.
And you can just slide in sibling rivalry for Usurp. So I agree. I think that's a good change.
Yep. And then,
as much as I am a fan of Killmonger and Wakanda, I think that's a good change. Especially, like you said, if you're planning on playing mostly Asgard, then I think that's certainly the change.
The other option is actually to swap out Vision for Loki, because they both have beams. Vision's is better. I'm not going to deny that. But it still gets Loki into the list. I think Vision is probably the least played character out of all the 10 in your roster. So that allows you to preserve the Wakanda half while empowering your Asgard half.
See that? In fact, that you're absolutely right. I mean, when I threw this together, I didn't really think, but Vision's in there because that 17-point list of the Wakandas is super strong. But if I'm playing Asgard every time I'm at 17 points, what's the point? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that. I think either of those changes would have been beneficial.
So moving over to potential tactic swaps, it sounds like if Loki comes in, we probably want sibling rivalry in. And if we're taking out Killmonger, usurp the throne's the obvious cut. But let's say we're doing the swap out of Vision. What do you cut? Because you have a lot of really important durability cards here. And I'm not sure which one goes. Probably patch up. I find that one's... It's always so tricky because like Medpack is the most efficient and has the best range on it, but patch up is the most output out of any healing card in the game.
Yeah, and with the theme, you know, a lot of times when you're building a list, you're making a theme, and my theme was durability. I think I like dropping usurp and putting in sibling rivalry.
And just leaving Killmonger in at that case?
Yeah. I mean, either that, or I know this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but I would even drop off if that is the type, the architect I'm going for is that type. The problem is I don't know if I want to drop off for get like gamma waves.
Well, actually, so that's an interesting side question. Like, so drop off, if you're often cutting it, at least in my experience, you want to take sibling rivalry and drop off together because you're able to do that turn one play of Thor drops off Loki and then throws him. Right?
Yeah.
And so if you're not willing to commit to those two cards because you want the raw durability of taking like Odin's Blessing, Field Dressing, Medpack, Patch Up, Brace, do you even bother putting in all you've got?
You know, I think that looking at the roster, I think I would drop Usurp whether I dropped Killmonger or not. And honestly, I'd probably just drop Killmonger out of the list and put in Loki.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question, actually, a slightly different tactic from sibling rivalry. Since you're very often abusing MODOK, do you ever put all you've got in instead of sibling rivalry?
That was in my notes. That was the number one change I would have done. I would have put in all you've got.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm trying to get in all you've got and usurp, I think that you have to drop probably patch up. Or I'm sorry, if I'm trying to put in sibling rivalry and all you've got, I think I have to drop patch up.
And then your typical Asgard team would look like Odin's Blessing, drop off, all you've got, sibling rivalry, and Medpack?
Field Dressing.
I'm bad at I knew you had to have it in there, but like my brain was like not counting it. I get double output out of MODOK, but let's just make him useless for the rest of the game. Actually, the other night I was playing somebody and I tabled them so hard I was like, oh, I don't need to field dressing MODOK. And then I proceed to get my ass handed to me because he instantly KOs MODOK on the first activation the next round.
That's the beauty of this game, right? You can be getting absolutely murdered, and then the mechanic of the game is for comebacks, you know?
Yeah. The rubber banding in this game is great because it never feels like somebody catches up without me making a mistake. Like, I have to plan for their ability to hit me back harder. And if I do it correctly, I don't think they're going to completely upturn me. Unless, like, really bad dice. But, I mean, that's with any tabletop game. But, like, if I make a mistake, then it completely flips the game on its head.
Yeah, it's a great mechanic. I love it.
Finally, I want to go over crises, because since you submitted this list, there are two secures that have come out, which are both D's, actually. Spider Portals and Black Order Descends. Do you swap in one or both of those so you can force the D scenario? You spoke very highly of Black Order Descends earlier, really wanting it in your semifinals game. Yeah. Is that the one you take over Spider Portals, and presumably it replaces Infinity Formula?
Yep. Or I would even be comfortable replacing Gamma, but yeah. And I think that's purely for Cabal. I think I want two D secures in there for Cabal.
Yeah, so you can force it into Cabal. Yeah. Are there any in retrospective swaps you want to make to your extracts, or are you happy with them as is?
I think I would put cubes in instead of panic. I think that's a change that I would rather do.
Yeah, I think you like your 17 a lot more than your 19, so having more 17 options across your crises, I think, is definitely the right call.
And that was actually a change that I made right before the tournament started, and I immediately regretted it. I was like, no, I want to change back. I want cubes back.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's going to pretty much wrap it. Let's see, anything else? But yeah, I think you put together a really cool combination here. It's interesting that you're not playing the quote-unquote traditional Wakanda. You've found different uses for it, because I feel like a lot of Wakanda strength traditionally is on the 15 Gamma board, but... You're playing it.
I think Infinity Formula, too. I think they're really strong on Infinity Formula.
I think that's another decent one for them, yeah.
Yeah.
But props to you for not playing Cabal and making it into the semis of season two, because that was...
I was like the only Cabal one. The season. You combine the second chance tournament and the regular tournament. It was like 7 out of 8 Cabals or something like that. It was high. Cabals, 7 out of 8 had MODOK, and then the finals of both tournaments were both Cabal.
Yep. I felt so bad for that. So I was the one who won the second chances tournament, and I literally just tabled everyone with MODOK because my dice were exploding every single time. Yeah, and like
that's what happens. That's what he does.
Yeah, just like round 2 on, I was like, I'm sorry. It's not supposed to play this way.
Yeah, Cabal is in a really, really good spot. I think it's funny, you know, looking at the numbers for season 3, and I think it shows a lot of things. I think it shows that this game is a very casual, competitive game, where you have a lot of competitive players, but you also have a lot of guys who want to play their fluff lists and they want to play the fun stuff and the new shiny stuff, which I think is fantastic. Because I mean, you didn't see really an uptick in Cabal at all, even though it's right now top dog.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I would be very unsurprised to see virtually all of the top cut being, Cabal, MODOK, or, Corvus Proxima. I think those are the two strongest right now. We'll see how it shakes out. I'm excited to see how your Guardians list.
I'm excited to play. Yeah, I wanted to play something different. I didn't want to do what everybody else was going to do, so I'm really excited to play it.
Yeah, so are there any shout-outs or plugs you want to do before we wrap this up?
No, I'm good. I no plugs for me. I just appreciate you having me on and had a good time.
Well, thank you for coming on, and... for everyone listening, thank you very much, and we'll see you again next week.